Joy to be here with you. I really enjoyed my time. And first things first, Miss Angel, thank you for those turnip greens. These Yankees have never lived, never had turnips greens. And I knew I was at home. After you eat your turnip greens, you probably never had it, but after you eat your turnip greens, you get to sip the juice. Don't ooh on me like that. It's good, is it not, Brother Angel? Oh, my goodness. You don't know this, but the marriage supper of the Lamb is going to be roasted lamb and turnip greens. But thank you, Miss Angel. I enjoyed that. You folks are deprived of good southern food, I'm telling you. Turnip greens. How many of you had turnip greens? Oh, okay. Decent crowd out there, but Miss Angel knows how to do that upright. I appreciate that. So many thank yous I need to give, Brother Angel. Thank you for inviting me, first of all. I've look forward to being here. I'm going to go home tonight. And I've been away for 10 days. I usually don't do this, and I'm not an evangelist. I'm just a pastor that loves the ministry. And we have some graduates. That's where I was on Monday night, rather Sunday, Monday and Tuesday. Dr. Dean Miller Sr. was with me, and I observed we had in years of experience, the two of us, I mentioned the church, 105 years together in the ministry. One of our graduates is over there. But I appreciate that. I'll be driving home, or at least part of the way home. And I've been usually not away for 10 days. And I know my wife will be excited to see me, I guess. We enjoy our space, I guess. I enjoy going out. And I don't know if I'm home for a week and a half or so, she'll say, when are you going to have to preach again? You do that when you get older, I guess. But thank you for the motel. Thank you for the fruit basket. Why do we call it a fruit basket? I had Coke. I had chocolate in there, and we called it a fruit basket. But thank you for that, and thank you for all that have been involved. All the way down to, I'll tell you who never gets enough attention, is the nursery workers. As a pastor, I know that. My wife was over the nursery like most pastors' wives, and the preacher get preaching a long sermon. I said, man, wasn't that a good sermon? Yeah, unless you was in the nursery. I don't know if the nursery workers can hear me or not. Can you hear? Can they hear me right now? All right, nursery workers, I'll try to be about 35 minutes. I realize, you know, that is important. And so thank you all that have been involved. And thank you for those who took me out to eat in addition to your pastor, Brother Bragg, and then also Brother Andrew. Where's Brother Andrew? He picked me up. I was wondering if he's out of high school yet or not. But found out he was. But anyway, just had a wonderful time. Also, I do promote, and I'm sure you'll be fine here, just a good word, Tri-State Baptist College was started by my dad. A semester after Hiles Anderson College, which was January of 1973. So next year I'll be celebrating 50 years of Tri-State Baptist College. Never been large, usually hang around 20 or 25. We did have a time we went to 75 or so, but most time 20 or 25. And God's given us good graduates. Your pastor mentioned that we have 31 or 32 active pastors. We've had probably close to 50. But preachers move on to other things, I guess. But just a good, solid Baptist college that's built on doctrine. I know you have Providence Baptist College here. In fact, we have Brother Pete Cavanaugh and Brother Andrew Grob, and my son-in-law hired those foreigners from up here in Providence. And I'd always hire Tri-State Baptist College graduates. But we're glad to have Leah in our church, and she and Pete are a blessing. And Pete's never told you he can do anything. He can basically just about do anything, and he's a blessing. To my son-in-law, who's a pastor, and I mentioned about to come in asking for a date for my daughter, I guarantee you he'll do the same thing. A good dad will watch after his daughters. I mean, every dad, you need to make it hard on anybody who wants to come and date your daughter. Right, Brother Angel? I mean, just make it hard on them. Don't make it easy for them. Make it hard on them. Dad, you agree on that? All right. Turn your King James Bible tonight. See if it'll work a second time. The book of Revelation, chapter number 2. Revelation, chapter number 2. I will say, Brother Angel ordered 10 more copies of Christian Money Management, and we ran out. I'm sorry that we did. And so he'll have those. It actually takes about 2 weeks. We have those at Amazon, and they mail about for us. But hopefully you'll learn from that. I love helping people in their financial area of their life. And, you know, all of us have areas that maybe are strong areas. Sometimes we have our weaker areas. But I believe that will help you. And then also, in my little opinion, you know, supposed to be honest at church, I love my Proverbs notes back here, 160 pages, and being honest, it's the best work on Proverbs I've ever seen. And just happens to be mine. I love it. And beginning in chapter number 10, just like I gave you chapter 28, you'll find a statement of truth and a little bit of explanation behind every verse beginning in chapter 10 of Proverbs. And then it's back there. It's $20, and if you're running short, just tell them that, and we'll sell it for what we can get out of you. But that's what it is, $20. Honestly, if you're a little bit short, we'd love for you to have that. And I'll quickly have that real soon in a book form, but now it's a spiral notebook. All right, let's stand for closing of the Bible, rather the opening of the Bible reading here, if you would. Revelation chapter 2, let's just look at one verse, and we'll deal with the subject here tonight. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh, I want you to notice that, to him that overcometh, will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. I want to speak in reference to John here, the book of Revelation, about the Bible says, to him that overcometh, as a Christian. We've gathered tonight not as a bunch of defeated people. We've gathered as a group of overcomers here tonight. When I got saved, 1 John said I overcame because of what Jesus did for me. And we are not a defeated people here tonight. We are an assembly of overcomers here tonight. Heavenly Father, I pray you'll help us in this short time as we open thy divine word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. I love the book of Revelation. There are those that say, You cannot understand Revelation, but let me say you can understand Revelation with diligent study. Revelation is one book of the Bible that has its own God-inspired outline. If you look at Revelation chapter 1 and verse number 19, the Lord told John to write the things that thou hast seen. If you don't have it, put chapter 1. John saw Jesus Christ in Revelation chapter number 1. Now, the Bible says that he heard and he turned to see and he saw Jesus Christ as a risen high priest and as a king to come on the earth. And Zechariah says that he shall be king on the earth and he'll rule the kingdom of this earth from the city of Jerusalem, and that he will be king over all the earth. That's what Revelation is all about. It ends with the kingdom of Jesus Christ. And then I want you to notice the second thing. It said, write the things in verse 19, the things which are. If you do not have in your Bible, write chapters 2 and 3. That are the seven churches. We live in the New Testament church age. There are seven churches in Revelation chapter 2 and 3, and those seven churches can have their lineage traced back to the church that Jesus Christ started himself. John 10, the words of Revelation in 90 A.D. Jesus started his church in 30 A.D. If you do not know, God has added some to the church. First apostles, the first church, Jesus Christ was the pastor of that church, and the 12 disciples were the first members of that church. And when Jesus started his church, and by the way, it is his church, thou art Peter, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And so we find 60 years later, John is in reference to these seven churches. Just recently it occurred to me, after teaching through Revelation many times, John was a pastor of the church of Ephesus. The Lord has said, I want you to write these seven churches, and don't you know it would have been good for John to have heard the words to the church that he pastored. Now, John is on the Isle of Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ, Revelation 1:9. And John took his stand for Jesus Christ. He took his stand for the Bible and for the testimony, which means the witness of Jesus Christ. And John was willing to take his stand for his Bible and his Savior. And John was arrested. If you look into history at that time, you'll find the first Roman emperor that proclaimed Caesar is Lord was during John's day. John perhaps had a test that came upon John, and the Roman emperor made an idol unto himself. And every time they were in the presence of that idol at a certain time, they were bowed the knee and confessed that Caesar is Lord. And probably for one reason or another, John said, I ain't doing that. And John was arrested at the Isle of Patmos, if you look here at First Revelation 1:9. The Isle of Patmos was an island for criminals. John was separated from his family. John was separated from his wife, his children, and yea, his church, as he was there on a rocky island outside of the coastline, probably some 15 miles. And John had been arrested for his stand for Jesus Christ. And one of these days, we're going to have to find out whether we're going to stand for our Lord also or not. I mean, John, right there in the Bible, he was arrested. He was taken to an island. And the Bible is very clear for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. And the Lord said, chapter 1, he saw Jesus Christ. And I'm going to talk, then the second thing, he said, I want you to write the things which are. That's the seven churches of Revelation. These are literal churches, as I mentioned to you. If you don't know this, I personally believe that the Baptist church has its lineage back to Jesus Christ himself. I'm an old-time Baptist, if you've never met one. I know your pastor is one. And I'm a Baptist by conviction, both historically, scripturally, and logically. And I'm not a member of a man-made organization such as Martin Luther started, such as John Calvin started. I am a proud member of the church that Jesus Christ himself started. Now, amen is kind of weak, but that's true. And there were seven of those churches. And yes, they were not called Baptists during those days. Our Baptist name was given to us during the Protestant Reformation. We were called Anabaptists. We were called double dippers. We were called those who took a stand to join that church there. You had to be scripturally baptized. We never questioned their salvation, but we just simply said there's a difference between the family of God and the church of God, and how wonderful it is to be both in the family of God and the church of God. And these seven churches that are outlined here, and Brother Angel said he enjoys preaching, so look at Revelation chapter 2 and verse number 1. Unto the pastor angel. The word angel there is angelos. The word angel there means messenger. Miss Angel was telling me that her husband is an angel. He's always up in the air harping about something at church all the time. But the word angel there means a pastor. You know, when God wants to speak to a church, you know who he's going to speak to? He's going to speak to his local pastor of that church. He said unto the angel, which means messenger. And it said there of the church of Ephesus. And he says there, I've got my pastor in my right hand. He said, I'm walking in the midst of those seven golden candlesticks. And then there are repeated phrases such as verse number 2, God knows the work of every church that's his. In fact, he examines the work of every church that is his church. And there are repetitious. I like in verse number 4. He said, nevertheless, I'm somewhat against thee. Because many times we'll say, you lost your first love. No, there's a difference between losing something and they left. How many of you left the keys at the house? You know, when you do that, you know where they are. And the truth of the matter is, when we get away from God, we know exactly where we got away from God. He didn't say, I lost. He said, I left. You left your first love. You know what our first love is? Our first love was when we got saved. We were so in love with the Lord Jesus Christ, we couldn't believe that we were a saved child of God. I mean, let's not ever lose that or leave that there. And then he said there in verse number 7, several things that are repeated. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. And we ought to enter into his courts with thanksgiving and praise, should we not? I mean, the happiest people in the world ought to be Sunday morning when we get to go to the house of God. I pastor people long enough.